The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, February 28th, 2016, broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB 1240 AM in West Babylon, Long Island. I am Gary Harding, and along with John Panarese, my co-host for tonight, welcome back from your cruise.
Thank you.
And we're going to get on the phone right away because this gentleman that's on going to be on right now has a job to do in about an hour and a half, actually, of broadcasting the New York Islanders tonight in Edmonton, Alberta, and he is the radio voice of the New York Islanders, Chris King. Hey, Kinger, it's Gary and John here on warm Long Island today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
All right, pretty good. One thing I just got to get off my chest real quick. I just want to say congratulations on your first curling out effort. I heard you did it in Calgary. Just give us a quick little bit into your first venture in curling.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys. You know, and all these years traveling north of the border to cover Islander games, I'd seen it a million times on television, and it's a huge, huge sport up in Canada. But had never really tried it, so it was actually my partner, Greg Picker, who organized the whole outing. It was he and I and the crew of MSG Networks heading over to a local curling house, and it was a blast, I got to tell you. On TV, never was the most exciting thing to me, but suddenly you get out there with the rocks and the ice and the brooms, and it gets competitive pretty quick. So for those that have never seen it or don't know about it, it's basically shuffleboard on ice with 40-pound rocks that you're sliding toward a target at each end of the rink. But it was a blast. It was absolute blast, and we're going to try to make it an annual event. We all enjoyed it so much.
Oh, that's great. All right, so here we are. We're less than 24 hours from the trade deadline. Obviously, rumors are going all over the place. Can you just describe a little bit about the atmosphere in the locker room? Obviously, you know, guys aren't going to talk about, you know, whether they're going to be traded or not, but How is usually the atmosphere less than 24 hours before a typical trade deadline?
Yeah, I think normally, you know, it tightens up a little bit because everyone's a little bit worried. But I think just the fact that, you know, Gary, you can make a case, other than that 8-0-2 run they had early in the year, this is their second-best run of the season. They're, you know, 7-1-1 in their last nine, and so far they've won the first three games of this seven-game road swing. So I don't think anyone feels they're going to be subtracted from the current roster. I think, if anything, you know, Gard Snow is going to make a move. It would be to add a depth forward, maybe add a depth defenseman. But I don't think you want to mess with a group that could be playing their best hockey of the season. That being said, they do have five forwards who are unrestricted free agents come July 1st, and Kyle Okposo, Franz Nielsen, Matt Martin, Steve Bernier, and Eric Bolton. And they've got two defensemen in Brian Strait and Marek Shedlitsky. So that is seven players that can walk away July 1st without getting anything in return for them. So, you know, that would be a place to start if folks are thinking that someone from the current roster might be dealt away. But I'm just more inclined, guys, to think that it would be addition and not subtraction. So there's always that nervousness, I think, around the team. Two things, though, I think really will help them is that the deadline is tomorrow, which is a non-game day. I think it's a lot more stressful when you're going out for a morning skate and then not knowing if you're going to play with your team that night. I think that becomes, you know, something on your mind that you don't want on a game day. And number two, the Islanders tonight, you know, fly to Vancouver, B.C., which is in the Pacific time zone. So that deadline arrives at high noon tomorrow. So if you look at it that way, you know, it's three less hours to fret about things as the 3 p.m. Eastern deadline, you know, arrives at noon out in Pacific time.
Well, you're in Edmonton now, obviously the Canada tends to be the rumor capital when it comes to hockey, whether you're in Toronto or Edmonton. Anything out there that you're hearing that's interesting? Because, you know, obviously I've been reading all these different scenarios that possibly could happen. But is there anything that kind of pops out in your mind that you might have read or heard about?
I think the only recent one, guys, was, you know, P.A. Parenteau possibly coming back. But just a crazy situation for him last night in Toronto, where if they had any thoughts of dealing him, you know, they put him in the game, he got injured, and he came out of the game very quickly. Now, I don't know if anyone knows the full extent of what that injury was to him, and obviously he's a guy that's had a ton of success. In fact, you know, the best success he's ever had in his career riding shotgun with John Tavares. So I think that, you know, that's the most intriguing name out there. It's just, what would the price be? And obviously Toronto is looking to unload. They've unloaded almost everybody already. So, you know, from the Islander side of things, that's, I think, the one name that seems to be out there quite a bit. And here in Edmonton, You know, yesterday they went nuts. They traded away former Islander Anders Nilsson. They traded away Justin Schultz. They traded away Teddy Purcell. And there's still talk that, you know, a lot of their first overall picks who maybe have not delivered as well as they should in the past could be up for grabs before tomorrow at the deadline. So, yeah, for those who have never been in Canada for trade deadline day, it's almost a national holiday, guys. You've got all three, you know, networks that go across the nation signing on basically when the sun comes up and just wall-to-wall hockey talk and trade deadline talk all day long. There's nothing like it. So I just love being in Canada for deadline day because it's just amazing what they put into this day. It's almost a national holiday. That's the really the best example you could give to it. It's almost like a Super Bowl is in the U.S. where a lot of people take off from work and just monitor the proceedings all day long.
Yeah, normally on trade deadline day, it's like a no productivity day for me too. But anyway, getting into tonight's obviously contest against the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, we got the NHL debut of Ryan Pulock. I'm sure I know. I read the story in Newsday today. His parents drove 10 hours from somewhere out in the middle of Manitoba to get over to Alberta to see him. And obviously, you're going to get to see his first game tonight. I'm sure the buzz and the excitement is on him. I would think, and some people were complaining on the boards, but I mean, am I thinking the right way that Cappy kind of wants to let the guys, especially guys that are coming up for the first time, blend in a little bit, get comfortable to the environment before he puts them out to the dogs?
Well, I mean, if you mean by blending in, it does look like he's going to start the game on the third pair, you know, opposite Brian Strait. So he's not going to crack the top four, that's for sure, as what the top four is right now. You know, Hickey and Hamonic, Letty and Boychuk. So certainly he'll earn less minutes there. I do think, you know, Cappy hinted that we'd see him on the power play, and you got to put him on the power play, guys. He's got 105 mile-an-hour slap shot.
Yeah.
You know, John Tavares has compared him to Shea Weber. So, I mean, it's just you look at his numbers at Bridgeport over the last 2 years. He has 24 goals. 17 of them will come on the power play. So I, for one, am looking forward to, you know, seeing him maybe not on the first unit. I don't think he's taking Nick Letty's spot on the first unit. Nick's the only defenseman that usually plays on the first unit. But certainly I could see him, you know, opposite Johnny Boychuk or opposite someone else on that second power play unit, which has done a pretty good job of late as well. So I think that's where you're going to see Ryan Pulock, you know, a little limited minutes and even strength on a third pair with Brian Strait and on a second power play unit where hopefully he gets to wind up that big blast a few times.
Well, did you get a chance to talk to him at all, like either today or yesterday, just on his thought process and everything going into playing his first NHL game?
Yep, talked to him when he arrived, then talked to him today. He's very, very excited, as you'd expect. He said, you know, as a kid growing up, you wait your whole life for this. So just thrilled to finally get it over with. He's been with us for a couple of games now and on the trip and just itching to go. But you mentioned it, you know, Jack Capuano is very superstitious when it comes to changing a lineup that's winning.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to do it until this game. So he felt, you know, this would be a great chance on great ice, you know, what's considered the best ice in the league, to let Ryan Pulock do his thing. And you mentioned his parents coming. You know, he said a 10-hour drive is nothing for the folks in Manitoba to see their son play. So he's excited to have family in the building. And, you know, other than being in Winnipeg, which would be the town that's closest to his hometown and in the same province, this is probably a best-case scenario for Ryan Pulock, who has worked so hard this year at Bridgeport, you know, on the defensive aspect of his game. Jack Capuano, you know, said this morning, we know what he can do offensively. We know how smart he is. But just, you know, how does he play defense? How does he move his feet? How does he box out in front? Those are all the important things that Brent Thompson worked so hard with him on all year to get him to the point where he's able to make his National Hockey League debut here tonight.
So that was, you just answered my question. I was just going to ask you about, you know, it has been so much talk on all the boards and some of the Islander podcasts about why hasn't Pulock seen, you know, time with the big club? And there's been all this talk about, well, you know, it's this, that, or the other thing. And one of the biggest theories has been that they want his defensive game to, you know, improve to a point where he wouldn't be, you know, so much of, you know, everybody knows about his 105-mile-per-hour slap shot, but they were saying his skating and his defense was a little lacking, and they wanted him to get some seasoning, you know, at least at the professional level with Bridgeport. So you kind of answered my question there as far as that goes, but I'm assuming that's why we're finally going to see him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and again, you look at the guys that have come up before him. It's interesting. When everyone, you know, thought of the defense at Bridgeport, you always thought Ryan Pulock's your best offensive defenseman, Scott Mayfield's your best defensive defenseman, and then the guy who came up before both of them was actually the perfect combination of those two aspects of the game in Adam Pellick. So, you know, Adam Pellick came up first because he was such a good two-way defenseman and so solid. And then when he went down, obviously they wanted defense first, and that was Mayfield. And now, you know, they want to give a chance to see what Ryan can do, certainly before his second full year pro is out. And his numbers this year at Bridgeport are down a little bit, but for that reason, because, as you mentioned, he's just concentrating on his own end, not as much as the other end.
Now, do you feel, again, obviously 3-0 start on the road trip, not absolutely the best of efforts in those three victories, but is this maybe the sign that a team like the Islanders that have always had struggles getting into February and March and having that momentum, you know, them getting to win these types of games where they're not necessarily playing at their best effort. Could this be one of those momentum swingers that maybe, you know, getting another win here, there's a possibility they can see themselves going maybe a 7-0 road trip? I mean, could you have imagined that?
Yeah, well, let's get through game four first.
No, I agree. I'm not saying to think of game seven, but I'm just saying that the fact that they're winning these types of games. This is not the type of scenario that past Islander teams that have been trying to move themselves up in the world have been able to do.
No, you're
win
right.
those types of games.
Right. They did not finish the season strong at all last year, and, you know, you could make a case had they finished stronger, they might have found a way to get through the Capitals in that opening round, but they lost game seven by a goal, so, you know, that's what it came down to. But you're right. Right now, Jaroslav Halak is the reason why they're at 3-0. I mean, he has played all three games. He's allowed two goals total in those three games, and guys, he's faced 90 shots. He stopped 88 of those 90 shots. So, you know, he's the reason they win 1-0 in New Jersey to begin the trip. The best effort, I thought, was in Minnesota on Tuesday night, where they had a convincing 4-1 win. And you can make the case, again, they were very sluggish in Calgary on Thursday night until the local boy, Thomas Hickey, ties it in the third. And then John Tavares just with an unbelievable setup for Josh Bailey in overtime to win it. So, yeah, you know, in two of those three games, you're right. Those might have been games that they lose in the past. Instead, they find ways to win them, and that's why they're coming in 3-0 tonight instead of 1-2.
It's, you know, it's kind of a more general, you know, question. I was thinking to ask you, you know, because obviously you cover this team every game. I've had discussions with several fans, and I've read on the discussion boards about, you know, the way the Islanders have played overall, and you know, sometimes we've seen these periods of inconsistency, and, you know, some nights they just don't look like they're mentally in the game or only there for parts of the game. The thing is, there's an ingredient that a lot of people will talk about that is slightly missing from the efforts that we've seen this season compared to last season. And I don't know if it's really something that is tangible or definable, but do you think that there's a slight difference? I mean, they're definitely a better team. They're finding ways to win the games that they you know, might not have necessarily had that ability to do last season. And I think, you know, good teams find ways to win. But yet there's still this one, I don't even know what to call it, that is just missing from the spark or the energy or the fun level. I don't know what it is. I've heard people try to define it. But what is your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I do, you know, to some extent see those games happening, but they've been few and far between. I mean, in this 7-1-1 run, which you're on right now, the one loss was that total stinker in Carolina where Yarrow, you know, gave up 6 in 2 periods and was yanked out of the contest. But that's the only true stinker that you can mention in the last 9 games.
Right.
And they had, you know, a similar run earlier this year in that 8-0-2 span, which is the only, you know, better run than they've had than this. But in between, yes, there have been a lot of games, you know, that they've lost, and you try to find out why there are those dead periods. And, you know, players and coaches talk about, hey, it's an 82-game season. You just got to try to minimize those games. And I think, you know, a year ago they were so strong for so long until the very end when they really didn't finish well at all. I think my numbers were 4 wins in the final 15 games a year ago, something along those lines. So they did not go into the playoffs playing their best hockey. So maybe you look at it now and say, hey, look, you know, after tonight, there's 23 games to go. There's 6 weeks remaining in the regular season. If they can, you know, continue to play this type of hockey where you're losing one game in regulation every 9, that's the way you want to go into the postseason.
Right.
So, again, they're not quite halfway through the trip. You know, they get through an Edmonton team here tonight that certainly always plays well at home. I think it's a big step forward. And, you know, then you go to Vancouver and Winnipeg where you certainly have winnable games. And let me tell you, if they come into the Garden for the final game 6-0, that could be some showdown between the Islanders and Rangers who, you know, right now are poised to meet each other in the opening round of the playoffs if they stay as the 2-3 seeds as they are right now.
Okay, just give us a little Northwell Health injury update. I hear that Calvin DeHaan is back with the team. Is that correct?
Yeah, Calvin Hahn joined us on a trip, so he is back. And Jack Capuano this morning said, you know, he's still a ways away. He wants to get him a couple of practices. They have a day off tomorrow. They'll have a morning skate in Vancouver on Tuesday. They'll have a practice in Winnipeg on Wednesday. They'll have a morning skate in Winnipeg on Thursday. So that's certainly good news on Calvin DeHaan's part. Mikhail Grabovski, though, is the guy that went on the IR with an upper body injury, and that opened the lane for Eric Fulton to come off IR with a lower body injury. So, you know, Jack wouldn't 100% commit that Eric Bolton's going to play tonight, but he basically all but said he would. Just loves the energy, the emotion that he brings in the room and on the bench, and he felt his team could use a little pick-me-up. And when Eric's out there, you know, nobody's allowed to float at all. And if you talk about those lulls that they sometimes run into, Eric Bolton's a guy that, you know, can make sure that doesn't happen. Plus the fact that, you know, the game in Brooklyn on Super Bowl Sunday against the Oilers, that 8-1 game, Zach Cassian got a little crazy and, you know, got the misconduct, and it got nasty and it got ugly. So
right.
I think he just wants to have another guy kind of riding shotgun out there with Matt Martin coming off, you know, his two fights in the game in Calgary on Thursday night. So just another guy that if Cassian, who's actually playing on the top line these days for the Oilers, wants to revisit any of the nastiness from Brooklyn, that he's got a tough guy available in Eric Bolton who will always, you know, drop the gloves for his teammate.
Just actually, the other question I had on you, we'll let you go because I know you got things you got to do before the game. Just give us a little bit of a talk about the relationship between, as we were saying about Yaroslav Halak and Thomas Greiss. I mean, honestly, is my 30 years of being an Islander fan, this is probably one of the best tandems we've had since maybe since Chico and since Chico and Smitty, or maybe Smitty and Rolly Melanson. I mean, you know, they're so good together. When one has a bad game, the next game the other guy comes back and does tremendous. I mean, Greiss is obviously he's playing career high numbers, career high wins. He's done everything you'd want out of a backup, and to me, I think this has been the perfect scenario because it's not having to have to worry about Halak playing 65 games and worrying about being his top self come April and into May when he's got to worry about each one of these major playoff games.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's a great point. If folks may forget that a year ago, you know, Yaro Halak set the franchise record for wins with 38, but if you look at what his backups did a year ago, you're talking Chad Johnson, Michael Neuwirth, and Kevin Poulin, who played one game, okay? His three backups a year ago combined for 9 wins total on the year. That's it. Yarrow wins 38. The other three guys win 9. This year, Thomas Greiss has won 16. J.F. Berube's won 1. So already, his backups have almost doubled the wins that his backups put up last year, and we still got 23 games to go.
Right.
So Thomas Greiss has been, you know, nothing short of remarkable, certainly the biggest upgrade in the offseason. If you get a hold of the league stats right now, Thomas Greiss is the league leader in save percentage in the National Hockey League at .930. So, you know, that's just an unbelievable stat for him. You mentioned the career-high wins, and it's strange the way it's played out of late, though. It seems like Thomas Greiss has played nothing but home games of late, and Yaro Halak has played nothing but road games. I had a little note on Greiss's last road game was January 2nd in Pittsburgh,
wow.
And Halak's last home game was January 25th against Detroit. So it's almost been exclusively the road warrior for Yaro and all that run support, as Jack Capuano likes to call it, for Thomas Greiss
yeah.
at home. So I think he's got to get Greiss in at some point, but you know what? There are no back-to-back games on this trip, and again, you know, the Islanders had 2 days off since they won in Calgary on Thursday night, so there's no way you could deny, you know, Yaro Halak right now when he is playing as well as he is. And you make a great point. They get along so well off the ice. They root for each other. It's not like a competition at all. They know the coaching staff's going to decide who plays and when they play. And I'm sure the biggest fan that Yaro Halak has right now is Thomas Greiss on the sidelines. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, we're going to see what Yaro can do here tonight, guys. The one thing we didn't get a chance to touch on, which we should before we go, though, it is the final game ever at this building for the New York Islanders, Rexall Place. And people may hear that name and not realize it's Northlands Coliseum.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the same
right,
building
right.
The Islanders and Oilers battled for those cups in 83 and 84. And just like the Coliseum farewell a year ago was, you know, 43 years and gone, this is their 42nd year. So here in Edmonton, it's just a huge story. They bring out a former Oiler every night. That's going to be Doug Weight tonight. So he will be honored before the game. And they're just so emotional, as the Islanders were, to see their building go. You know, the Oilers won 5 cups, 4 of them on this ice. The Islanders with the 4 cups, 3 of them won at the Coliseum. And, you know, each team has so many numbers in the rafters for all the Hall of Famers that, you know, had them win 4 cups, the Islanders in the 80s, and the Oilers got 4 cups in the 80s as well, and then 1 in 1990. So I just didn't want to forget that that one, you know, big angle that we'll talk on a lot tonight is final game ever in this building. And I've been taking a lot of pictures today, guys. I'll tell you
that.
Yeah,
sure you have.
I'm trying to get my last memories of this great building. And it is so Nassau Coliseum-like, you know, from the outside, the inside, everything about it gives you those chills just at how similar it is to Nassau Coliseum. And they'll say goodbye to it at the end of the regular season.
All right. Well, listen, Chris, we'll let you get prepared for your game. You know, after this show is over at 9 o'clock, make sure you turn on to the Islanders Radio Network and catch Greg Picker and Chris King call the game if you're not in front of the TV. Chris, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of the trip, and thanks for giving us a little bit of time tonight.
Yeah, anytime, guys. And I do want to just add to that, Gary, folks, especially tonight in the intermissions. We got a great feature in the first intermission with Jigs McDonald, where we'll walk down memory lane of Islanders Oilers. And then our Dan Hansen put together like a history of the building in the second intermission that really has all the great moments from this building. So we've got, you know, a great game in front of us, but two special intermissions tonight if you want to check out for sure on the Islanders Radio Network with Jigs and a salute to the building one final time.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for giving us that information again. Call a good game tonight, and we'll speak soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Always
take
great
care,
talking
Chris.
To you.
All right, take care. All right. So that was Chris King. We appreciate him coming on. For those of you who might have saw on the Facebook boards, we had originally announced that we were going to have Brian Trache on tonight. He was going to come on, but unfortunately he is out of the country. Was a last-minute thing. And the next time we're on, which I think, I'm not sure on the date, maybe March 28th, I believe, something along those lines. Brian Trache will be our guest that night. He has promised that he will come on for us. So like I said, great interview as always. Kinger's a great guy to talk to. Loves the game of hockey, and
you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. You know, it's just guy who loves his job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, to fall into a job like that, you know, that's a dream we all want. I'm sure you and I would want to do something like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're going to do, Brian, we're going to take a quick break right now if we can. And what we're going to do is we're going to open up the phone lines. Area code 631-888-8811 is the number here at WGBB. And we want to, you know, I hopefully put it on a bunch of the boards and try to get interest in going. And let's see if we get some calls and we get some talk about who we want to come. I mean, of course, I put a couple of things up and saying, you know, we're going to talk about the trade deadline. And, of course, people start saying, we want to trade Jack Capuano. I'm like, just drives me out of my mind.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'm going to vent on that. But I'm also going to talk about something very different. And John knows about this. I actually got involved in a sporting event myself. Something totally different than what we usually talk about. It's not handling a baseball bat. It's not handling a hockey stick or a basketball or a football or even a golf club. I did something else, and it was one of the greatest experiences I ever had in my life. And we will definitely talk about it when we come back from the break. So you're listening to Gary and John on the first hour of Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour.
All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back for the second half hour of John and Gary's show on Sports Talk 1240. Again, Country Foot Care, as you heard on the commercials before, are proudly sponsors of our show. Dr. Stephen Brook, who is the team podiatrist for the Long Island, the lacrosse champion Long Island Lizards. They have a great practice in Mineola and East Williston, 516-741-FEET. Again, I've been going to him for over 20 years, and if you need any problems with your feet, he is the man to see.
I'm sure he's excited, though, with the Mets getting ready to start up, being the season ticket holder for what?
Oh, God, forever. Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to go out maybe and buy one of Cespedes' cars that he's been driving to spring training. Oh, my God, John, these things are amazing. Well, speaking of cars, I'm going to give a big shout-out, and hopefully I know some of these people are going to be listening to the show or catching the podcast tomorrow. The folks at the BMW Performance Driving School in Greer, actually, it's in between Greenville and Spartanburg, South Carolina. I had the chance, and actually, I won this contest through the Islanders. Actually, they had a BMW electric car at the Coliseum last season, and I filled out one of those forms. And about 6 months later, they called me and said I won. And I was like, "What the heck did I win?" They said, "Oh, you get to go to this driving school for 2 days. And we'll fly you down there, and we'll put you up, and you get to drive these unbelievable cars." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, no big deal." And it actually happened last weekend. I flew down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and drove about an hour and a half down to Spartanburg, South Carolina. And it turned out, actually, the hotel I was staying in, that actually Ted Cruz spoke.
Oh.
Yeah, so I got through all the all these crazy people with the Republican buttons, and I won't get into politics on this show. That's no place for it to be. But anyhow, I got behind the wheel of cars that cost about $120,000, John.
Jeez.
Three times the horsepower of the Hyundai Sonata that I currently drive. And
big upgrade.
Yeah, big upgrade. Oh, man. But we went through 2 days of all sorts of training, and all the other people that were in this class, and I say hi to Raul and John and a bunch of the other guys that were at the class with me. All these guys have driven performance cars before, with the exception of me. And I don't know if you're familiar, John, but there's a show on BBC America called Top Gear. It's a driving show.
Yep.
And one of the guys, James May, they constantly call him Captain Slow, because in all these little contests that they have, he's always behind everybody else. And sure enough, I thought that, you know, doing this thing, because I was the least experienced driver of the 13 that took the class, I thought I was going to be the slowest one. And at the end of the first day, we had a little time trial contest. And unfortunately, I didn't get to find out the results, because I had to run out, because we were meeting Claire and I, who obviously flew down with me. We were meeting friends, and I had to get out early. So I found out at the end of the second day, when we were done, I said, I asked one of the instructors, how did I do? And sure enough, she brought back the sheet, and she brought the numbers, and I actually beat five guys. So I ended up, I wasn't Captain Slow, and I really ended up having probably the two best days of my life, with the exception of marrying my wife. And I have to preface that, because if I don't, I'm in deep, deep trouble. But if anybody truthfully has ever been either drives performance vehicles or has wanted to really get the experience of it, it's not cheap. For 2 days, including two nights hotel stay and meals, It costs $4,000.
So this is something people would normally pay for to get.
Yes, and somebody, yeah, exactly. Okay, I was the only one. I was the only one of the 13 that didn't pay.
Right.
Because I won it. Everybody else paid their way down there. So it's not, obviously it's not cheap. They do have a 1 day class, which doesn't include the hotel or anything, and it's like $1,500 or whatever. But I will definitely say, if you are a driving enthusiast and you really want to put yourself to the limits, and a lot of their advertising that they had, you know, signs and stuff around the place was, you know, get ready for your heartbeat to rise, you know, or, you know, get the chills and all that. And it gave me every bit of it. By the end of the class, I learned how to do what those crazy J turns. I don't know if you're familiar, but you basically put yourself in reverse and you speed as fast as you can, and then you spin the wheel, pull the parking brake, and spin around and get yourself back in gear without losing any momentum, without stopping. So you're going backwards, spinning, and going forwards. It was so cool, and we had to do this other thing called drifting, which basically means as you're speeding around, basically you're just sliding. Instead of driving. And it's, John, I hate to say it, good thing you can't see. Okay? Because at the end of the thing, one of the instructors drove us around doing all the things that we were supposed to
do
and showed us how bad we really were. But I'll tell you, it was one of the best 2 days of my life. And anybody, and I'll tell you right now, anybody that ever says that a race car driver, whether it's a NASCAR driver, Formula One driver, or any other type of professional driver, is not an athlete, definitely needs to have their brains examined. Because I came out of those 2 days in pain. My hip is still bothering me a week later. Because you're bouncing around. You're making instantaneous decisions. I mean, literally, tens of seconds instantaneous decisions. Especially when you're going from 100 miles an hour down to 30. And then trying to make yourself to spin and make a tight left-hand turn. It's crazy stuff. So if you have to do all that stuff, you know, you are an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely are.
The stress that's on your body, too, just overall.
Exactly. And mine just as much.
Yeah, well,
so,
yeah, definitely.
You know, so it's just, it was just, like I said, it was the experience of my life. I got to do it again. And I will tell you right now that in a couple of years when my lease ends on my car, I think you know what kind of make I'm going to be buying next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, what we want to do right now, again, if you're listening and you want to talk trade deadline tomorrow, whether it's Islanders, whether it's Rangers, you know, I've been getting bugged by our resident Ranger fan, Derek, you know, because he's like basically proclaiming, I think the Rangers are going to win the Cup now that they got Eric Staal.
I think they got to do a lot more than
You know what? Again,
I think
let's
Washington is
take our it. Take our seriously, and I try to explain this to him, but of course he can't get rational thinking. So take our Islander fan hats off, put our NHL hats on. Okay, I mean, I do think that it's not a bad deal for what they got.
No.
You know, they did give away 2 second-round picks. I think one's this year, one's next year, something like that. And they gave up a marginal prospect. So, yes, you got a guy who is got experience, which the Rangers don't necessarily need. But, again, a guy of his talent. And I think Derek was trying to equate it almost to, like, what they did with Marty St. Louis a couple years ago. It could, but the only difference between that, And if you look at Staal's numbers, they have consistently gone down the last 6 years. I think his
best days are behind.
Long behind him. He's long in the tooth. Marty St. Louis was a solid performer who never lost his touch, and did quite well as a Ranger. He hated the fact of it, but you gotta give respect to what he did.
Right.
But. You know, it will remain to be seen. I mean, yes, unfortunately, you got a team that just got even more older than they already are. They are the oldest team in the National Hockey League by an average of 1.5 years.
He's also injury prone over the last few seasons.
Right. I mean, yes, the deal makes sense because they got Carolina to pay half his salary, which is fine, you know, so they're keeping themselves under the cap. But you're looking at a team that's getting older. And you got to think, and I think Derek mentioned it. And Derek, if you're listening, I'd love to talk to you about it. on an honest level,
not as a Ranger,
not as a Ranger fan, and we bash each other, but talking the game that we love. So much.
I want to talk about Washington, how strong Washington is. I don't think that's made the Rangers close to competing with Washington. Washington, I think, in the East right now, is the team to beat.
There is no doubt about it.
And in the West, I don't think it's going to make the Rangers be able to compete with any of the good teams in the West. Stahl is not going to be a deal breaker.
I mean, you know, we talk about Chicago all the time. Chicago's made a couple of deals, obviously the big one being Andrew Ladd.
Yeah, I think was just absolutely solid pickup.
Solid steal.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, experience, been there, won a cup in Chicago, so it's not like he's going into a room where he doesn't know anybody.
Right.
You know, smart, you know, again, smart team, smart general manager, smart organization. You know, and they're gonna fight tooth and nail with the Dallas Stars. I mean, they're going to be in a dogfight throughout the month of March. And it's going to be real, real interesting. And actually, truthfully, on a personal note, I can't wait. I'm going to Dallas in a couple of weeks to see the Islanders play the Stars. Can't wait to see the mood in that building, because it's obviously, I was there a couple of years ago, and it's a completely different situation in Dallas than it was 2 years ago, and I am so looking forward to it. But you know, I think that could help. You know, the trade's going to help in the short term, whether it makes them capable of getting to a third round, getting to a fourth round. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't. I mean, you know, I'd love to put, you know, blinders on and, you know, put all the great musing and say, yeah, there's going to be a big upset coming. But, you know, you look at it as a hockey fan standpoint from a perspective of, you know, someone who studies it. There's not a single thing wrong with the Washington Capitals. I mean, they are setting records. I mean, Braden Holtby has a chance to break the all-time win record of Marty Brodeur at 48. It's well in his reach. He's got 39 now with 22 games left. That's a very easy thing to handle.
Right.
Ovechkin's got another possible 50-goal season. He's got such help, you know, from the rest of his team, all the way down to the fourth line. The big problem that they're going to have, and I don't know if they're going to address it, is the John Carlson injury. He's out for 4 weeks now. You know, that's a big blow to that team. You know, and whether the guys that are coming up, I'm horrible on the names of the fifth and sixth D guys on Washington, but you know, do they make some kind of a deal to get a veteran defenseman? And there are some guys out there that are for the taking. There's even talk of Mark Streit possibly going somewhere. You know, he's again, a guy that's, you know, just got his 400th NHL point, I think all-time Swiss leader in points. And, you know, he's a guy that can still provide 26, 27 minutes to a team that could use it. And, again, a good two-way defenseman. So he's somebody that's going to be obviously a possible commodity, because you don't know whether, you know, a guy like him is going to be, you know, whether Philadelphia is going to keep him.
Right.
So, again, if you're listening and you want to give us a call, 631-888-8811 is the phone number to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB tonight. And, you know, we're just going to just take a quick peek and see what's going on. Again, you know, a battle for second place in the Northeast Division tonight. Tampa Bay up 4-1 on Boston. Vancouver 1-0 in San Jose at the end of the second. Vancouver, obviously, the Islanders' next opponent on Tuesday night.
San Jose making those their own little trades there.
Getting Reimer from the Toronto Maple Leafs, who basically are getting rid of their entire team to get that number one pick, which is going to be most likely Austin Matthews of U.S. junior hockey fame. Of course, winning the world championships. It's going to be quite interesting to see what's happening. Obviously, looking at the Florida Panthers again, they lost today to the Minnesota Wild 3-1, but they obviously made three big deals, you know, which is something you never expect the Florida Panthers to do. I mean, this year, obviously, Dale Tallon, the former builder of the Chicago Blackhawks, the guy that initially built the Chicago Blackhawks to their run of three cups in 6 years. He's running the show in Florida, and obviously picked up Yuri Hudler, Purcell from the Edmonton Oilers, and Kindle from the Detroit Red Wings. So he's making big splashes and trying to you know, keep that first place run. I mean, I know my friends down in Florida are unbelievably on cloud 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Because obviously, you know, 2 years ago, you would have questioned whether, you know, Florida would still be in existence.
Right.
And they also, believe it or not, if you remember a couple of years ago, they had somebody running the organization, and I can't, what was the guy's last name? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yormark.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Brother of said Brett Yormark. Mm-hmm. And from the people I know in the Florida Panther Booster Club, friends of mine, we've had some conversations, and I've asked about that, and they said if it wasn't for somebody else stepping in, that Brett Yormark probably would have destroyed the Florida Panthers. And, gee, you know, what's his brother doing in Brooklyn these days?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, John, you were away on your little cruise to the Bermuda Triangle and all the bad weather you had, and you were talking to me on the break. You know, Yormark's had some bad things obviously come in the paper, and there's a lot of talk going on.
Right before I left, there was an article that my cousin Ralph put up, linked for me, that was talking about the Islanders looking to get out of the lease or something.
Yeah, I mean, we've said all along that there is supposedly a breakout, whether it's year three, year four. We hear it's year four, but we wonder if something's going to happen. But, John, you know what? We got a call. So this is Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240. You're on the air. What do you want to say?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Talk
a little hockey.
Mr. Sweeney. How you doing, my man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, let's start things off with the Ranger deal today.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right.
No. It's not terrible. It's not as terrible as I sent.
As you said, you were making comments on Facebook, you were saying
to our buddy. I'm just saying they just got another ghost like Rick Nash. But you know what? The guy's got 10 goals this year. His production has been down. Okay, but I'm not going to. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's funny. You know, somebody, a good friend of mine, made a comment about that, and he basically said, you know what? You know he's got the same stats as? Josh Bailey.
Yeah.
So guess what? They just traded for Josh Bailey as a potential
number. Yeah, you know, Rick Nash is the Casper the Ghost on that team. He hasn't played in a while, and when he does play, you don't even know he's there. I want to see what Stahl's going to do and how he's going to turn his team around to make them compete for a cup like Derek Wasiak thinks they're going to, when Washington's dominating the East, okay? And I can't see anybody beating that team. And I'm dying to see what happens when the season ends and we get home field against them when we're 2-3 and we knock them out of the playoffs in the first round.
Oh, if you heard my talk with Chris earlier when I was saying, hey, we can go 4-0 and possibly go 7-0 on the road, he stopped me. So you got to remember, we got 23 games left to get through.
Right.
And
now, all the chatter on Twitter and all this other stuff, everyone's saying when the Islanders going to make a deal, what's going on. I don't think the Islanders need to do much. The only thing they do need to address is if they're not going to sign a Poso, they should do something with a Poso and get something back. That's all I'm saying. If a Poso is not signing with the Islanders, he's not happy being in Brooklyn, he's not happy being there, then they got to make a move for a Poso, which I don't want to see happen, but that's the move that they got to make, I think.
Yeah, I understand the thought because, again, as Chris said, there's seven guys that are unrestricted free agents come July 1.
Right.
And, you know, do you want to move something? Obviously, the two big names you hear is obviously P.A. Parento, our former guy that left
right.
because he wanted to get greedy and he can cash in on those two good years he was on JT's line. And what did it get him? He's been on four teams since. So, you know, that's a possibility. And Boddicker from Phoenix is another possible home for him because, obviously, he's young. He's not a big cap hit. He's only $3.5 million, I believe. So that's not a bad deal, and he's only 26. So those are possibilities. But, you know, again, the question is, what are you going to give up?
Yeah, and that's what scares me all the time in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Franz is – I would sign Franz before you sign a Poso, I would say, right?
I would tend to lean on that.
Yeah, especially –
because look what – you got to remember, look what you have coming up, you know, potentially. You know, you got Barzal, you got Bovier, you got Dalcol, you got a lot of talent, young talent ready to come.
Coming up, yeah. And, you know, like, yeah, look, the Islanders are playing good. The Hawks playing fantastic. The Islanders are playing good. Were they 7-1-1 in the last, you know, 9 games? That's fantastic.
That's
they
right.
Got, they got, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but they have very winnable games the next 3 or 4 games. So, you know, we could be, we're sitting pretty.
We're sitting in good shape.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to say pretty because then you're trying to show it off. I mean, right now you're comfortable. You know, you hate the cliches, and I'm going to use the cliche, but you know what? You do this road. You actually got to do this road trip one game at a time.
Right.
Go to Edmonton. Edmonton obviously been decimated in the last 24 hours. They're going to lose more guys. Who knows? Who knows if you're going to see it? This is going to be the last game for, I don't think Taylor Hall, but maybe Jordan Eberle or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Neil Yakupov or any of those guys. This could be their last game tonight as
right.
Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, obviously things are going to go. You want to, unfortunately, do the opposite of what they did in Calgary, is get, in other words, get a goal, get on them, and nail them to the floor.
Yeah, right? Keep going, right, exactly.
You have to. That's the type of game you got to play against Edmonton. You got to give. You can't let these guys have a chance, and you can't let a guy like Connor McDavid, you know, get his legs going.
Because
we all saw in the home game in January what this type of team can, right. What he can do, and he's.
Yeah.
I mean, he is an amazing talent.
Oh,
he's incredible.
Best young player in hockey right now.
There is no question
fantastic.
About it.
I agree.
So what else is up there, Mr. Sweeney?
No, I just wanted to say, Gary, I'm glad you had a good time down in South Carolina.
Oh, God.
And
if you know anybody that's a car head, that is the trip.
I'm not a car head, but I will say, not that I want these high-performance cars like you did, but I did go through 2 Evocs, you know, through the police academy.
Yeah.
And stuff. And we had to do your backwards and, you know.
J-turns.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. The J turns. Those are so cool.
It's you know, those cars are a little more pumped up than some of the regular cars.
Well, all I know is I forgot the one thing I forgot to mention when we were doing our last laps in this 570 horsepower M5. You know, we ran these things to the ground for 2 full days, right? And I get done with my last laps driving around the track, and all of a sudden I look down and I see a light go on, and it's like. Replace brakes immediately. I'm like, oh, great. Thank God it happened at the end. And then when I tell the guys, like, hey, look, the brake lights came on. He goes, you know what? He goes, that's $12,000.
Wow.
That's how much the ceramic brakes cost on those high-performance cars.
They must
$12,000.
Now you can appreciate what kind of athletes those guys are.
Well, you know what they said, John? They said for a, you know, for a normal, you know, typical, you know, 12,000 a mile a year person, you know, driving regularly, those brakes last a lifetime.
Yeah.
Those brakes last 30 years. They said at the school they last 6 months. So
that's incredible.
And then they said, oh yeah, how many? I looked, you know, because obviously the BMW they have all these little stats and everything. So it's like I'm curious. I wonder how much miles per gallon this car got for the day. Got 2.5 miles to the gallon.
Come on.
2.5 miles. Yeah, when you're driving 90 miles an hour all over the place and stopping dead.
Was it exhilarating?
It was unbelievable. It was like the craziest roller coaster you'd ever go on. Because, again, at some points you're going from 20 to 110 and then stopping almost dead in like 100, 200 feet to make a sharp 90-degree left turn and then go into a spin. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, like I said, I've been through, not with those kind of cars, but with through police cars, and we had to go for training for that. And
yeah.
Fantastic.
You know? Yeah, well, I know when I got into my rental car that night, after the first night, I get into my Chrysler 200, I'm going, this piece of garbage.
You drive one of those, then you go drive a Prius.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love my Hyundai. I am a Hyundai Sonata driver for the last 6 years. I love my Sonata. Yeah. I love Hyundai. But you know what? I just found a new love. Sorry.
All right, so let's go for the Islanders. And, Gary, on another note, I hope Godspeed when everything goes well with you. Whatever's going on.
Oh, yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate that.
My prayers with you and the family and everything, okay?
Thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate that.
And I miss you guys. I'm sorry I couldn't hook up with you guys.
Hey, well, like I said, next month we got Brian Trache coming on, so.
Yeah, well, hint, hint.
Hint, hint. You're there. I know. I know. You can come.
Okay. Sounds good, guys. All right. Have a good night. Great show.
Right.
Once again, you guys knocked it out of the box.
Yeah, you know, we do our best.
Let's go Islanders, right?
All right, let's
all right,
go
Johnny.
Out, buddy. All right, take care.
All right,
bye-bye. All right, well, the ever-present John Sweeney. Oh, and too bad Derek isn't around listening to the show. So
if he is, he's not going to call in.
No, he's not going to call in. No, he's going to bust our chops when he's on.
When he has his show.
Yeah, exactly.
Call us fanboys and all the other crap.
Yeah, like I said, I'll mention at the end about what's going on. But anyhow, it's going to be quite an interesting game tonight, you know, seeing what happens with Edmonton. Obviously, Anders Nielsen also got traded, too.
Yeah, where did he go?
St. Louis, I believe. Because they lost, not Jake Allen, they lost Elliott for 4 weeks. He's out, injury. I can't remember exactly what, but he's out for 4 weeks. I mean, Jake Allen has done a great job for St. Louis. He's done admirable, but, I mean, they signed, they signed Talbot long term. So they've got somebody else young in the wings coming up. So Erickson was just, it was an experiment. It actually worked pretty well. For a while he spelled Talbot. He played like six or seven in a row and
right.
was doing very well. So I think that's a good thing because I don't think Jake Allen is the type of guy that you can count on to play 70 to 80% of the load. You're gonna have to do a 50-50 thing, and I think Nielsen will step up for them good, and I think he'll fit a Ken Hitchcock defensive team quite well.
I was going to say, that'll help him because he's got a defense in front of him.
Exactly. I mean, as well as he did with – and again, there's a couple of pieces in Edmonton's defense that are not bad, but, unfortunately, it is what it is. Obviously, the Rangers tomorrow night face the Columbus Blue Jackets. It'll be the first game for Eric Staal as a Ranger, so I guess they'll have to have, put initials in front of their names now. Again, the trade deadline, 3 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, 12 o'clock Pacific time for, especially for the Islanders. So if they have to make a move, somebody's going to, at least they have the day off. So it'll be interesting.
Was saying, it's a little less stress if it's not a game day.
Depending on where they, of course, obviously where they've got to go. But, yeah, you got to look. I mean, who would have thought, again, another situation, who would have thought when we were talking in the end of October, especially with the start, the 9-0-0 start that a certain team had, that they'd be dumping talent when we're talking to Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Poor Mark Bergevin. I mean, the emotions that this guy had to face this year, that's a record start. I mean, for a 100-year anniversary of the Abaton de Montreal, to have a team like that start 9-0-0, and right now I think are 27-27-9 or something like that, or some ridiculous number. So you think they've gone 9, they've gone 18-27 since. Some people were questioning, you can't say it's all Carey Price.
No, I mean,
a good part of it's got to be Carey Price. I mean, sorry, they're 30-27-5. So right now they're sitting 5 points out of a wild card, which is currently held by Pittsburgh. But obviously Montreal's also played two more games than Pittsburgh. So they're pretty much behind. They're 8 points out, looking at Detroit, same number of games, and they're at 73. So they're 8 points out of a playoff spot. Detroit trying to hold on to a wild card, make it their 26th consecutive playoff run.
Well, I read something somewhere before I left that said that at the moment, no Canadian teams
At this point, there is no Canadian team in the playoffs.
That's pretty...
That it'll be the first time it's happened.
Ever, right?
Yeah, I think ever. Yeah, Vancouver right now is 8 points out of a spot. That's 60 points. Calgary's at 56. Winnipeg's at 56. Edmonton's at 51. Right now, the last spot is 68, and that's Colorado. Minnesota's 66. So looking at the East, obviously Detroit and Pittsburgh, 73-70. Montreal's at 65. Ottawa is at 66 and has played one more game than Detroit, three more games than Pittsburgh. So, yeah, that's – and, of course, Toronto is at the bottom at 52. So right now, Toronto and Edmonton are
– So realistically, it could happen. No Canadian teams making the playoffs.
It's very likely. It is very likely.
That's a pretty scary thought.
Mm-hmm. So, baseball season starting up. The Mets looking ready to defend their National League title. I think the great story that came out of the news day today, I don't know if you got to see it today, John, but Mr. Wheeler pitching off a mound today or yesterday.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, so he's getting ready. They're looking at most likely a June return. So I think he'll spend most of May working his way back, probably through St. Lucie, and then maybe a couple spots in Vegas before he gets to come up. Montero, remember him, the Dominican pitcher, he's at 100%. So you got to look and say, wow, look at all these riches that they've got right now. Pretty interesting story. I mean, what's going to happen? You know, who's going to make it? I mean, obviously, Colon has come out and said, look, I'll pitch wherever you want. I mean, right now he's looking for a meal ticket, and if you looked at his size, you'd probably know I'm right. Sorry, I had to make that joke, but...
He's a good soldier.
He is. You know what? He wants to be here. Right. He's good with the guys. Everybody loves him, you know. So, you know, those are the types of players.
He's a workhorse. He'll go out there and he'll just throw the ball. Give him the ball. And...
in every sense of the word, he's a workhorse.
You had to go there.
Yeah, I did have to go there. Anyway, so, now, just in the last couple of minutes, I just want to, like I said, John mentioned something, so I wasn't going to really mention it. But unfortunately, tomorrow I'm heading to the hospital and getting an angiogram. They found some interesting things on my stress test. So, you know, so those of you listening, say a prayer. I'm sure everything will be fine.
Well, I could make the joke and say, well, at least you have a heart. I've been told that they won't find anything.
Ooh, wow. Nice shot, buddy. I know you didn't give that to me, but that's a good shot. Yeah. Well, Derek.
So you could tell your wife.
Derek, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, the way he's been nasty bashing me on Facebook all night, maybe so, but, you know, that's...
Well, he's the Grinch. His heart's
three sizes
too small.
You know, but hey, we like him on two out of three fronts.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to say that. We love him. We love him with the Mets. Right. We love him with the Jets. But, you know, the other one, not so much. But that's all right. That's what, you know,
Derek's
it makes Derek, Derek's it makes Derek, guy. It makes Derek what he is. And again, we do love him despite our little, arguments.
Nah, he's
arguments,
great people, Derek.
Despite our arguments and fights. But anyway, again, we're back on March 27th. And, again, we've mentioned that Brian Trache will be our guest on the 27th. He will come on and join us, and we'll talk a little reminiscing again. You know, his days, obviously, you know, with the Islanders winning cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins, his 40-something game stint as a coach of the Rangers, maybe because he got too much tequila and somehow decided to take that job. We don't know why. But anyway, you know, again, a lot of fun. Welcome back from your trip.
Thank you.
And fortunately, as you said, you have to go to work early in the morning tomorrow. Yeah, I know. But anyway, again, we want you to make sure you stay tuned in the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Our one of our new hosts, Andrew Claudio, is taking over in the second hour, and I'll get to meet him in person as he will come in and replace us. So we hope he has a good show. I heard his show last week and did a very nice job. So it's great to have new blood join us.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So, again, make sure you check us out. At Hockey Blindside is John's Twitter handle. Mine is at G Harding, WGBB. We both do Isles Talk. And actually, both John and I are going to start a podcast with Isles Talk pretty soon. So we'll get to hear us more talking good stuff about the Islanders, maybe bashing the Rangers and Derek Wasiak once in a while.
Maybe.
We'll work on that. Listen, John, as always, great show. Thank you for coming on. Thank you to Brian Graves on the other side of the glass.
Brian.
And this is Gary Harding in the words of my good friend Bill Hayes. Keep skating, everybody. We'll see you. Listen to Andrew Claudio next on Sports Talk 1240.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.